Welcome to Holistic Trauma Healing, a podcast that empowers you to heal trauma in the same way it has affected you as a whole person. I am Lindsay Lockett, your host. I have discovered a profound path to healing trauma that allows us to move out of the role of victim and into the role of empowered and conscious creator of our best possible reality. I offer hope, healing insights, and practical tips as you get to the root of how trauma has affected every part of your existence and how to weave a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. Hi there, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I have a special treat in store for you today. I am having Megan Buer from episode 7 back on the podcast today to do a follow-up of the emotion code that she did for me after we finished episode 7. And we're also going to talk about repression of feminine energy and healing through pleasure and pussy awareness. So in this episode, we're going to expand on the emotion code and also talk about another aspect of Megan's work, which is the body code. We're going to share the concept that whatever happens in the physical body has already happened first energetically. We're going to introduce terms to you like idea allergy, addictive heart energy, organ misalignment, and negative cord. We're going to discuss inherited emotional traumas. We're also going to discuss the rejection of our authentic feminine nature and, for Megan and I, how conservative Christian religion perpetuated that repression and also the repression of our sexual nature. We're going to talk about shifting energy through space and time and the work that Megan does with the emotion code. Megan's also going to do a live emotion code clearing session for me. So she's actually going to be going through her emotion code stuff using applied kinesiology and testing and clearing emotions for me. And I wanted to do that with Megan on the podcast so that you could get an idea of what it's like to work with her. Super fun and interesting. And then we're going to just give some practical ideas and stories for like the struggles that we've had with being disconnected from our bodies, especially as women in a culture that is very patriarchal, very masculine driven, and has shamed women for centuries and centuries about our bodies and our sexuality and our sexual pleasure. There's a lot to unpack there. And Megan and I both are sort of on this journey. I would say she's further along in the process than I am, but she's been very insightful for me in this episode because I would say that sexual repression is the part of my trauma healing journey that I have made the least amount of progress in. And so I walked away from this interview with Megan with like action steps that I can take to allow things in my life, to allow pleasure in my body, to get in touch with my pelvis and the part of my body that holds all of that sexual energy. And really, it's going to require me to get out of my head. And I'm so in my head about sex, and I always have been, because there's so much just trauma and confusion in me about that from religion and the conservative Christian town that I grew up in, and just like the messages that I was taught about dating and sex and my body and clothing and modesty. It's just, it's all connected. And so if you are a woman or you identify as a woman and you've really struggled with feeling sexual repression and shame or guilt around sex, and you feel disconnected from your body and it's uncomfortable to be in that space, then you're gonna love this episode. You're gonna get a ton out of it. So let's get going. Let's talk about healing repressed feminine energy and getting back in touch with our pussies and inviting pleasure into our lives and healing through pleasure. Hello, Megan. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. How are you doing? How are you feeling since we've done 2 sessions together?
I feel worse. Is it okay for me to say that? I just have to be
yes.
Totally transparent. I feel worse. So with people who maybe they haven't listened to our first episode together, they can go back and listen. That's episode 7 of the show. And in that episode, we talked all about your work as an emotion code practitioner and releasing the trapped emotions that get stored in our body as a result of trauma and how those emotions get stuck and the body doesn't process them through. And our bodies just hold on to those emotions. And then over time that can cause pain or symptoms or whatever. And so my chief complaint was that I've had this mysterious pain in my right hip for months and months now. And I thought maybe I'd hurt myself, but I haven't. I've been to physical therapy about it. I've been to the chiropractor about it. They make minor little adjustments, but they can't really say this is the cause of your pain. And it's been interesting. It's been unlike any pain I've ever had. But after our two sessions, the hip started hurting more frequently. And the pain is now spread into my lower back. And there just feels like a lot of tension and a lot of pain. And it has been uncomfortable. So I'm hoping you can shed some light on that for me.
Absolutely. My first question is, outside of the hip, has anything come up for you since the session? So a lot of times, again, when we're working on the physical level is where everything happens last. So the symptoms are that shows up last and it heals last. So more on a psyche level or an emotional level, has anything good or bad, like been stirred up or seemed to shift or anything like that? I want to ask that question first and then get into the hip.
Yes. So pretty much immediately after our conversation and the first session that you did for me, I interviewed Chelsea Horton and we talked all about relationship anxiety. And as we were talking, I realized, oh my gosh, I have relationship anxiety. And so that has been present ever since then. And there's no reason for me to have anxiety about my relationship. David and I we've certainly been through a lot, but I would say that our commitment to each other, the depth of our relationship, and that there's a sweetness there, that there's always been a sweetness between us, but there's just like a really endearing sweetness that's there. But I still have this relationship anxiety, and it's probably, this may be TMI for a lot of people, my husband and I both have a pretty significant amount of sexual repression from being raised in evangelical Christianity. And for him, like for me, my sex drive has never been like crazy high ever. For him, it's like he's had, I would say, a normal sex drive, but he's had to repress that a lot because he's not a jerk and he's not like, he's never pressured me or guilted me into having a sexual relationship. And so whenever I've said no, or I don't feel like it or whatever, there's never been any guilt or shame or pressure. It's just, it's been okay. But I think for him, there's been some repression in himself in addition to the repression and trauma from purity culture. So long story short, he has actually also been dealing with some just like low sexual energy. And my husband is a master Reiki healer also. And like, he has explained to me that he just sees it as there's some sort of an energetic block happening. And he's been working with himself and moving energy and doing Reiki on himself. But it sounds like, oh my gosh, they're just having sex issues in their marriage. I think both of us are at the place where we're like, you know what? It's okay for us to feel this way. We've been taking a pretty extended break from being sexual, and we've just been enjoying like doing other things together and just like binge watching Outlander and holding hands in bed or like scooting over and just like cuddling or whatever. And so there's definitely still intimacy, but it's not sexual, and neither one of us feels pressure for there to be sexual happenings. But like for me, having the relationship anxiety in the back of my head, I'm going, oh my gosh, there's no sex happening in our relationship. Something's wrong. Even though like my higher self knows that everything is fine. So that I would say is the biggest sort of psyche thing that's come up since the last time you and I talked.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I think, again, because what we established already was that right hip is correlated with a partner. So obviously spouse. And as women, we hold a lot of energy in our hips. We hold a lot of sexual energy in our hips. And I think, and again, we're talking more about sex than we are emotion code, which is fine. But I think for you specifically, like really tapping into let's look at your relationship with yourself. So you can have a sexual relationship with David, but you need a sexual relationship with yourself as well. And I think that is such a huge, reclaiming that is such a huge part of healing the religious trauma and healing all of the guilt and the shame and the confusion around sex that we grew up with. So like reclaiming that part of yourself. And I think even just moving, like dancing, like really getting into your body, getting into your hips, like that is just trapped energy. That's literally all it is. And so it's, I think what it got, it's been stirred up. We've identified what the issue is. We've cleared out some stuff and your body is like, there's more. Let's keep going. Yeah. Like there's more, like she's getting this now. Let's get rid of this. And so I think it's, let's clear some more emotions. But I think on your end, it's turn on some sexy music and like just dance, like just move. And it doesn't have to be for anybody and it doesn't have to be pretty and it doesn't have to be anything. It can just be for you. Just moving your hips around and like just touching into, and it doesn't even have to be about sex. It can just be about like sensuality, like literally like touching into our senses, getting out of the head, getting into the body, like feeling your hip and feeling your skin on your hip and feeling just smelling something, like just getting into that sensual nature helps the body feel more safe to release and release and release. And that's what we want to do, is instead of holding on and figuring out and staying in the brain, we want to get in the body and we want to soften and relax and move and allow ourselves to pull off another layer, pull off another layer, pull off another layer. So I think it's really recognizing that growing up in a culture where we learned that sex was either bad or it was really good for making babies and that's it. That actually sex is one of the most healing things that we can do as biological human species. And it's connecting, it's everything that our brains and our bodies and our emotions need. It's connecting, it's invigorating, it's enlivening. And so it heals our body and our mind on so many deep levels. And so for you, I think it's just tapping into that a little bit more, like getting to that place where you're exploring that for yourself, not for anybody else, just for you, and finding joy and pleasure in whatever way that means, you know, right now. So
yeah. Okay. I actually told my husband the other day when we were having a conversation about this, that I don't think either one of us has ever had a completely pure sexual experience. And I don't mean pure from the evangelical standpoint of virginity and purity and all that nonsense. I don't mean that pure, like neither one of us has ever had a sexual experience that has not also been tainted by guilt or shame, or even just feeling, is this okay? And he agreed that we've never had that experience and we've been together for 19 years. And I think that's huge that we're both able to recognize that. And we know this isn't a problem in our relationship. This is not a sign that we don't have a healthy relationship. It's not a sign that we aren't supposed to be together. Like it's not a sign of any of that. It's just, here's what's come to the surface. We have this awareness now and it's manifesting for both of us differently. And for me, it's like manifesting as pain and stiffness in my low back and hip. And for him, it's manifesting as literally feeling like he's literally said, I feel like my cheese bummed up. So it's, and like, I've been coming in my office, closing the door, turning on not sexy music, but just like whatever feels right at the time. And just moving around my office and dancing, and that does feel good. And it feels, I don't know that I could name anything that's moving through me, but it feels like something is moving. So I have my list here pulled up from the first session that you did with me. And I want to tell everyone the emotions that you cleared: rejection, insecurity, fear, discouragement, grief, unsupported, unworthy, blaming, sadness, panic, overjoy, horror, blaming, vulnerability, lost, and peeved. So those are the things that you cleared after my first session. You also cleared excess stress hormones, addictive heart energy, idea allergy, ovary misalignment and mental image. I'm wondering if you can explain idea allergy, addictive heart energy, and ovary misalignment.
Yes. Okay. So, well, ovary misalignment, we've got our physical body. We also have our energy body. Energetically, again, I think of the subconscious and the energy body is like the beginning of the train and the physical body is the caboose. And so whatever happens physically has already happened energetically first. Okay. Basically the train has been going down this track of having an ovary misalignment and then it creates that physically. And so what I'm doing on the energetic level is I'm just moving that train back. Like I'm just shifting it, and it can take a little bit of time for the caboose to catch up, but basically we can energetically realign whatever we need to. If it's an ovary or a lung or a vertebrae in the spine, we can shift where it is on the energetic level. So that's what that is. The addictive heart energy is basically our heart's desire, like all of us have, to feel love, joy, acceptance, connection. It is basically that energy has been off-tracked to something else. So rather than feeling joy, love, and connection from maybe ourselves or from another person or a healthy aspect, we start feeling those feelings with something else. So this can be anything from scrolling Facebook and eating Ben and Jerry's, or it can be really intense stuff like drugs and whatever. So you can have a whole range of quote unquote addictions, but it's basically just taking something that maybe isn't the best for you and replacing that with something that would be better. An idea allergy, this is one of the most interesting things, and I love to clear these. When I started getting this work done with my practitioner, she was just doing the emotion code, which was the emotions you listed. That's the emotion code. The other stuff is body code stuff. And when I was working with her, she was just doing emotion code. We'd have a session. I'd feel better for like about a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then all my symptoms would come back. We'd have a session. I'd feel better for a week or so. And it was this whole cycle that just kept going. And then when she started doing body code, the first thing that came up was an idea allergy to being healthy. And so basically when she cleared, that's when things finally started really sticking for me. And basically the idea allergy is on a subconscious level, our body is pushing away something that's actually good for us. So I have cleared idea allergies to all sorts of things. You don't necessarily have to identify what it is, but sometimes people want it identified. Idea allergies to joy or wealth or success or love or self-care or all sorts of things where the body starts to think that something is not safe or not good and it pushes it away. One really interesting story that I had from a client years and years ago, she grew up in Italy and she came to me with these different complaints. And she said, listen, like I'm Italian. I love pasta. It's just a part of my life. It's a part of my culture. I can't eat it. Every time I eat pasta, I get sick. She goes, but it's not a wheat allergy. Like I can eat bread. I can eat cakes. I can eat like whatever, and I'm fine, but it's just pasta. And I was like, I don't know. That's so random, but I just wonder if there's anything you could do about that. And I was like, huh, that's really interesting. And so I'm digging around and trying to find some stuff. So then she starts telling me that as a kid, she was just talking about her Italian like heritage. And she was like, every night at dinner, we would have pasta with whatever we were having. There was always pasta on the table. And I just miss that so much. I want to be able to do that. And for whatever reason in my mind, I said, okay, what else was happening at dinner when you were a kid? Tell me about family dinner as a kid. And she goes, oh, every single day we would sit down at the table and mom and dad would start fighting. Every single night, my parents would have a fight. And I said, oh, this is very interesting. And I said, your subconscious has identified what our subconscious will do is when we're in a stressful or a traumatic situation, i.e. our parents fighting at the dinner table or whatever it is, it will look around and say, I need to protect myself. I need to make sure this doesn't happen again. I need to create a symptom. And so what her body was basically doing was saying, every time she would try to eat pasta, it would create this symptom for her. And it would, again, like pushing it away. Just if you really were allergic to dairy, if you ate dairy, you would get sick. Your body would reject it. So her body was literally rejecting that because it was subconsciously on the psyche level, bringing up memories of her childhood trauma. It was an idea allergy. We cleared that. And I would say probably every 6 months, this was years ago, every 6 months or so, she'll send me a quick email and just be like, still eating pasta. I'm like, that's amazing.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating?
It just makes me, the more I do this podcast, all these interviews that I've been doing in almost every episode, we keep coming back to our bodies and like how really, in fact, I had someone ask me yesterday on Instagram, they asked, how do I stop thinking like an evangelical when it comes to sex, life, like all of these things? And my response was, you think you're thinking like an evangelical. You're not thinking like an evangelical. Your body is behaving like one because you either had to force it to adapt to the trauma that you were experiencing, or you were told that this is how you were supposed to respond, or whatever. It's not cognitive. You can't think your way out of what you think is a thought, because it's not a thought, it's your body's response. And so that's such a great example of like her body was letting her know very loudly in a way that maybe didn't make sense to her, or in a way that maybe she couldn't have deciphered without your help. But her body was letting her know, it wasn't the pasta that I don't like, it's this like discord and strife in your family. And I'm giving you this physical symptom to let you know, hey, pay attention.
Yeah, I know. And it's so, again, it's so random. Like a lot of times we're so disconnected that we would never sit down and think, oh, this pasta is on a psyche level reminding me of my childhood, and my childhood reminds me of mom and dad fighting, and that reminds me of how we're just, that's not, but that's what I, as an intuitive, that's what I'm able to do, is see these patterns. And as soon as she starts talking about family dinner, I'm like, there it is. That's something, like, keep talking. So I think it's really, it's just interesting to notice the web of how our bodies create. It's like a computer. The subconscious to me is like a computer where there is input and there is output. And we, with the right tools, we do have some control over that. We can go in and delete some of these old programs and put in something better. And we have the tools to do that. And I think it's just recognizing that when, for this woman who asked the question, like, it's just a program in the subconscious that your body is responding to sex in this way, because we can change our thoughts any moment. Like, it's not that, it's the subconscious response that the body is being triggered into. And it is hard. It can be difficult to move through that. I think we have so many tools, but it's just recognizing that we're so much more powerful than all the beliefs and all the trauma and all the stress. Like, we really are more powerful than that. And I think even with the word trauma, we hear that and we're like, we just become submissive to that word. It's, oh my gosh, trauma. That's something I could never get over. Something I could never, you know, move past, but we really can. And we have these tools to manipulate the subconscious in a healthy way. And then we also have the power of our bodies and the power of our minds to make a different choice when we encounter those old triggers.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I have my other list pulled up here after your second clearing with me. So you cleared, and some of these are the same, so I might repeat myself from the last list, but
yes,
crying, hopelessness, shock, depression, lack of control, dread, failure, self-blame, sorrow, peeved again, and failure inherited. So you've got failure by itself and then failure inherited. So I'm curious about that. You also cleared a rejection of authentic feminine nature, a negative cord, which I don't know what that is, the emotional reverberation of self-blame, and sexual repression energy, which makes total sense. So can you start at inherited failure? Tell me what that means. Tell me what rejection of authentic feminine nature, the negative cord, and the emotional reverberation of self-blame.
Okay. So an inherited emotion is basically just an emotion that has been passed down from mom or dad, and possibly passed down from grandma or grandpa, or however far up the line. So in the same way that at the moment of conception, we have DNA and we have, it's all set that your eyes are going to be this color and your hair is going to be that color, that we also inherit emotional traumas as well. And that stuff is passed down. And that's all it is. That is just that letting you know that this is not yours originally, this is someone else's. But I love clearing those emotions because they're so powerful, because we're doing healing, not just for you. We're doing healing for generations past and generations coming up. And as we get this stuff out of your field, we're getting it out of so many other people's. And I think of it, again, thinking of things like a web, we have this one emotion that has created all of these different experiences. And as we pull that out, we are healing so many people at the same time. And that's why I love working with women, because especially moms, like, we hold the key. And if mom is feeling good and healed and is clear, so are the kids. It's fascinating. And then, so a negative cord is the same way that we can feel love and connection for someone, take a spouse or a child. We have an emotional connection or cord with someone, and those can be positive or negative. And negative ones are, it's like somebody that you're immediately triggered by, or it's somebody that you're just passing junk back and forth to, or maybe it's somebody, as soon as you see that person, you fall back into this old negative self or something. So it can be with anybody. It can be small, big. It's just that it's there. And again, most of the stuff we don't need to identify further than that, but it's just a negative connection with somebody, basically. The rejection of authentic feminine nature was not something that is on my emotion code list, but it's something that just came intuitively. And that's really where I was feeling that sexual repression and the feminine nature was like what kept coming up for me for you during that session, when I would focus in on the hip and like really seeing, tapping into the energy of, yes, the pain is there, but what is the pain? What is it? And that's what it kept coming up for me. And so I think, especially based on our conversation earlier about sensuality and sexuality and trying to explore that for yourself, like that, I feel like will help move that. So as we reject our authentic feminine nature, meaning we live by someone else's rules instead of our own, basically, we start to repress pleasure. And especially as women growing up in a conservative Christian religion, we learn that our feminine nature is, we are here to serve men. We are here to have babies. And that's about it. And that is not authentic feminine nature. That is us being told what to do. And maybe I have a friend who, she is the most well-adjusted, authentic person I've ever met. And she, that's what she does. She has, I think, 11 kids, and she is the happiest person. That's what she wants to do. And that's amazing. Like, she has chosen that for herself. And so it's not, I'm not on here saying, oh, if you're being an authentic feminine, like you shouldn't be married and have kids and be a stay-at-home mom. No, that's bullshit. You can do whatever you want. And that's, I think, giving yourself the freedom of saying it's all okay. And so if you want to be a mom and you want to be home and you want to cook and clean, there is nothing wrong with that. Beautiful, do it. If that's not your calling, if you're not pulled towards, that's okay too. And so it's really just, if we're thinking about sexuality or we're thinking about careers or we're thinking about whatever, it's just saying that's okay. And just because you're a female doesn't mean that you necessarily have to do these certain things or not do certain things. So that's, in a nutshell, what I was clearing is just that repression of, what do I really, who am I really without this? And I remember feeling that way, just being told my whole life that it, like, the goal is get married and have kids. That's it. So I got married and I had kids and I was like really unhappy. And, you know, it was like, this is bullshit. I thought I was going to be so happy. And it's not to say that I didn't enjoy my life. It was just that I had not been able to choose that for myself. I was told to do that. And there was other parts of me I was not able to explore. And now I have a much more well-rounded sense of self where I have my kids and I love my kids and I love that part of myself, but I also love my career and I love being single and being able to explore my sexuality in different ways. And so
I do want to point out for people who potentially are hearing you describe things like having babies and cooking and cleaning and staying home. And like, when we're talking about feminine nature, we're not necessarily talking about female. Like, feminine and female, masculine and male are not,
yes,
the same thing. Like everyone has a divine feminine and a divine masculine energy, and it has nothing to do with whether you have a penis or a vagina. It has nothing to do with your career or with, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's just, it's mm-hmm. that yin and yang balance that all of us, that energy that all of us have inside of us. And some of us swing more toward the feminine energy and some of us swing more toward the masculine. And in my relationship with David, we've only recently realized that I've always swung more masculine and he's always mm-hmm. swung more feminine. And like when people hear me say that, they might think that my husband is like effeminate or whatever. He's not. Like he's a very manly man, but he's much better at being than I am. He's a beer. Mm-hmm. I'm a doer. He's like slow, go with the flow, easy breezy, like sexual, mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm more like rigid and controlling and all that. And I'm female and I identify as female and he's male and he identifies as male. But when it comes to those energies, he is more in his feminine and I am more in my masculine. And what I realized in the last year is that I have suppressed this feminine energy and it's been trying to come out and I'm less and less interested in the doing. And I'm so much more interested in the being now. And because I'm trying to step into that energy and that part of myself, that's created like some shifts in my relationship with David, because we can't both be in our feminine at the same time because then it's not balanced. And we talked about this in our last episode. We read David Data's book, The Way of the Superior Man, together and both got a ton out of that book. And ever since then, we've been able to do this like very delicate dance where like I'm shifting more into my feminine and David is shifting more into his masculine. Neither of us feels like we're being untrue to who we really are. I think it was just a product of, for both of us, me being more in my masculine and him being more in his feminine, honestly, was a product more of like how we were raised and who we were told to be or expected to be than it is who we truly are. So I've always been super attracted and interested in pole dancing and like strippers and like Mother Earth and being a witch and a healer. That's always been something that's pulled to me, but those things are very feminine mm-hmm. qualities and they require a large amount of being and not doing, which is something that I have not been very good at because part of my trauma is as a child, like my worth was based on my productivity and I was expected to make good grades and expected to be the best at everything that I did. And so there wasn't a lot of time to just be because I was constantly having to like please my parents and I became a perfectionist. And then on the flip side with David, he was allowed to be like his family allowed him to lay in his room on his bed and play the guitar for hours. And he wasn't expected to be the best at everything. And he was, so it's more of a product of our upbringing than it is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was a lot and maybe a little bit off topic, but I want to swing back to for people that have listened to me list off all of these emotions and they're like, holy shit, that's a lot of stuff. Like you assured me that amount of emotions to be cleared at one time is normal. Can you elaborate on that?
It's very normal. Yeah. Most of the time, first time clients will be like, oh shit, I'm messed up. And I'm like, not at all. No. So that's very normal list. I would say for clients during one session, I can clear anywhere from like 15 to 20 emotions and then probably anywhere from 4 to 8 body code things. And that will come up consistently over and over again. And that is totally normal. Even for, I have tons of clients that are children. I obviously don't work with them directly. I work through the parent, but same list, totally normal, completely fine. It's just human experience. That's what doesn't mean that you have more trauma than somebody else. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person because you are feeling all these things. It's just human experience. And we all have positive, negative, neutral emotions all the time. And it's completely normal. And I have people that I have been working with since the beginning of my career, almost 9 years ago, still see them once a month and they have lists like that. Totally normal and fine. We are talking about clearing out an entire lifetime and possibly generational emotions. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. And then a lot of my clients, we get to a stopping point and then they come back once a month for a session because they're continuing to have human experience every day. They're continuing to feel things every single day. And so it's just that tune up. So yeah, a long list is completely normal. And I would be concerned if it wasn't. Okay. I'd be like, all right, who are you? What's going on?
Okay, excellent. So I know that a lot of people listening are into the woo-woo as you and I are. And I know probably just as many people are listening and they're like, this is bullshit. Show me the science. Show me the research. Where are the third party, double blind, placebo controlled studies? Show me all of that. And you live in the East and I live in the Midwest. We've never met in person. Mm-hmm. And yet you've been able to do this work for me long distance. And so mm-hmm. can you speak to that? Can you satisfy some curiosities or put some fears or some criticisms in their place or whatever?
Yeah. The way that I like to I like to speak in metaphor to try and help people to simplify this work and help people understand the same way that I can text somebody literally across the world and it gets there in a moment's notice and they can read something and have an emotional response towards me. And then they can type something and send it back. And I have an emotional response towards them. That's what energy is. So I think the rise in technology is just a metaphor for like how we all work anyways. We're all connected just like we are now on the phones. We're all connected to each other. We're all one in that sense. And so the way I think of this is me and your subconscious, we're texting. That's what I'm doing with your body is we're communicating in that way. And yeah, it's one of those things that cannot be proved by science, similar to things like the emotion of love, our emotions. We can't prove any of that. Those are just human experiences that we can't particularly put under a microscope and decide what is and isn't and where it came from and why it's there and when it's going to go. And so I think of it like texting on the subconscious level. And it's just, it all comes down to energy and we can shift energy. It doesn't matter where you are on the planet or if you're asleep or awake or it's all the same on the energy level. So I have other ways I can explain it, but that's a quick little nutshell.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. I think you were saying that you could do some work on me during this interview.
Yes, I would be happy to. Absolutely.
Okay.
If we're still working on the hip pain, then that's really all I need to know.
And I know that whenever you did these first two sessions for me, like I was in less pain than I'm in now. And so mm-hmm. I know that the work that you did has stirred something up.
Yeah.
And so I'm, you know, curious.
Yeah.
Calm things down and move it out.
Yeah. So we just need to keep going. And that's where I think it's remembering that people can get, we've been indoctrinated that if something hurts, that means it's bad or that we've done something wrong or whatever. And this is really the body has stirred up some healing for you. And so we'll just dig a little bit deeper here. For people that are listening, what I have in front of me is the emotion code chart. And this is how I find the emotions. I use applied kinesiology or muscle testing to figure out what emotions need to be cleared. So even if you don't have the book, you can just go online and search emotion code chart and go to images and you'll find the chart and you'll see what I'm using. And then I just tune in to the hip and I ask what's there and I clear it out. So it's very simple. It's very quick, but I will just tune in here real quick and see what we can find. Okay. All right. First thing is grief. So we'll clear that out. That was actually when we first started talking today, that came to mind was the colon, because sometimes some lingering hip pain can also be related to the colon. And of course, grief is related to, and again, for people that look like you can see in Chinese medicine, each emotion is correlated to different organs. And so colon and lungs are both connected to grief. And that's the first thing that came up. So I'm not surprised. And so I want to dig a little bit deeper with the colon aspect because you might just be really emotionally holding on to some shit that needs to go.
Okay, interesting. So I know about the organ correlations with traditional Chinese medicine and emotions. Just throwing this in there is another little just tidbit of interesting information. Shortly after we moved to Minnesota, I developed asthma and never had asthma before in my life, never had a breathing problem, had a bunch of allergy testing done, all this kind of stuff done. I wasn't allergic to anything crazy that like dust mites or whatever, but anyway, the clearing that I have to do in my throat is that is like where the asthma lives. It's not so much in my lungs as it is in my throat, but obviously I get short of breath. So it's interesting that you mentioned that because whenever you said grief and colon, I automatically knew that the lungs were also connected. And it was after I developed the asthma, like we had just moved here and I wasn't sure I wanted to stay whenever we moved here because it was like a whole new world. Geographically, it was completely different. The people were completely different. The food was completely different. Like everything was completely different. And I spent many months like grieving over losing like my connection to Texas and being near my mom and my friends and things like that. And, but it's even though I don't grieve over it anymore, I couldn't be happier to live where we live now, but that asthma has still never gone away. So
interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yep. It's all connected. All right. Let's see what else we can clear. Sadness, which is also under lungs and colon. Clear that. Heartache. Clear that. So wishy-washy, we'll clear that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That one felt interesting too. Heartache again.
I've used that word to describe myself before.
Really? Okay. Interesting. Back and forth.
And the whole time we've been talking, people can't see me, but I sway all the time.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's what I thought too. Okay. Interesting. We've got a blaming that is inherited. So we'll clear that. We've got grief, which is absorbed. So an absorbed emotion is one different than inherited, where inherited is a generational thing. Absorbed is something that someone else was, it's an empathic thing. We empathically picked it up from anybody. So we'll clear that. Love unreceived. Clear. Ooh. All right. Discouragement. This is a good one. I can feel this in my body. Everything's tingling. Blaming. Confusion. Oh, these are good ones. Low self-esteem. Self-abuse, which can be a very wide range of, can be negative self-talk to self-sabotage stuff to things like hurting ourselves. So big wide range for that one.
I am definitely my own worst critic.
Okay. That is it right now. Let me do body code stuff real quick. See if something can come up here. All right. So colon misalignment, which I knew was there. Why do we have a colon misalignment? What is that? Okay. Colon misalignment is due to a despair anchor. A despair anchor is basically just a negative belief system. It's a dramatic name for it. Okay. Let me clear that. We've got another addictive heart energy. This one is absorbed from someone. So that's not yours originally. Okay. That is it right now. Let me just go through and do a quick organ check to make sure everything is where it's supposed to be. Yes. And a gland check. Everything's where it's supposed to be. Yes. All right. So let's let that settle for a bit. Okay. See what comes up.
So, okay. I've been, after our last chat, I started reading the emotion code. And I'm about a third of the way through. And so I haven't gotten to the part of like how to actually do it yet. But one thing that I've noticed that he does pretty consistently is he asks the subconscious, like at what age the emotion goes back to you. Do you do that at all?
So I do, if people want that. So when I first started, it was like there was, or even then, there are certain emotions that need to be identified and age needs to be identified for whatever reason. If it helps the person with some conscious processing, most of the time at this point, that doesn't really come up. I do have some clients who would like to know. And so I will do that for some people if they'd like to know. But again, I don't like to have people feel like they need to, like, because again, if you give an age, then people are like, oh my gosh, what was going on? What was that? Is that a repressed memory? Like the psychoanalyzation starts. And so I defer away from that simply because I don't want somebody's mind to get wrapped in it. Like the whole point of what we're doing is we're clearing space. Let's not fill it with more psychoanalyzing drama. Let's put something in that cleared space, something fun, something pleasurable. We cleared the emotional baggage from it. It's over. It's not anything that needs to be psychoanalyzed. The healing seems to be cleaner when I don't dig in too far because it's just not needed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not necessary. And that's the cognitive brain trying to analyze and figure it out. That's not trusting the body to take care of what it needs to take care of.
Totally. Yep. Like there are these tools out there that they're more powerful than their trauma, and just making, tying it back into pleasure. Because when we experience trauma, when we experience stress, when we just have these normal, unfortunately normal human experiences, we create all these rules in our head of what is okay and what is not okay. This sexual thing is okay. This is not okay. But I want to do this thing that's not okay. So I'm a bad person or whatever, like all these rules about, and again, if it's wellness trauma, it's food, supplements, it's this is okay. And that's not okay. And I can't swim in this pool because it has chlorine, and this one I can because it sees, like, oh my gosh. And so it's just getting to that point where we become neutral, that all of these things outside of us are okay. If it's that weird sexual thing you want to do, it's okay. If it's that bad, quote unquote, bad food that you want to eat, it's okay. If it's whatever it is, it's just getting to this place where everything is okay. And when you're in a place of feeling and in your body that everything's okay, then you can actually make a clear decision about what's in front of you. Because it's when we put all these rules on everything and say, this is good and this is bad, that's when we start to have that internal confusion and that internal cognitive dissonance where it's, they're saying this is bad and I don't think that's bad and I want to try that or I want to do that. Or for me, I wanted to have a career, but I wasn't supposed to. And there was all this like push, pull, push, pull. That's where everything has to become okay. And when everything's okay, we can follow our intuition. We can actually hear our intuition. We can follow it. And most of the time that is leading us towards something that's going to make us feel good. It's going to give us pleasure. It's going to give us human connection. And a lot of times what we do when we are stuck in our trauma patterns is we do the opposite. We do something that makes us feel bad. We do something that isolates ourselves and disconnects us from others. And then we don't know why we feel like shit. And it's because we're not listening to ourselves.
Yeah. Cause we're operating under the hidden programming, the autopilot, instead of being in the body. And as a woman, like this is a great conversation topic, and we can shift over to it really fast. Cause why not? But as a woman, if we were really being in our bodies instead of in our heads, and even for people that weren't raised in religion, like there's sexual issues and repression and trauma and body hate and criticism and all that, for people who were raised with no religion at all. Like that is just a cultural trauma that's not specific to people who were raised in religion. But the culture or the religion or whatever the authority that you saw was, they don't want you in your body. They want you in your head. And so like we have billions of women who are not in our bodies. And so we've repressed and suppressed and hurt ourselves and hated ourselves and questioned ourselves and all of that. And I'm wondering if you could elaborate maybe on if a woman is like, yeah, I have been in my head my whole life, but I don't know how to get in my body. It feels uncomfortable to be in my body. It feels wrong to be in my body. I'm wondering what you could maybe tell her to get her at least to dip her toe in the water.
Yeah.
Tell me, I know that I have all this sexual repression and I'm woke, using air quotes, I'm free, but I know these things in my head, but my body does not know these things to be true. So tell me how to tap into that and dip my toe in the water in a way that is connecting with my body and without fear.
So all I can speak to is my own experience with this, and my own experience, what I have learned since leaving my marriage, and not saying anyone has to leave their marriage to experience this, but that was for me and my experience, like my relationship that needed to dissolve for me to really open up. Okay. So for me, something I started doing, and hopefully this is not too TMI for a podcast, but here we go. Something I started doing was literally listening to my pussy versus my head. So my head would tell me, this is bad, or this is not good, or this is whatever. And so literally I will put my focus into my root chakra. And that is where I will keep my focus. If I notice that I'm going out of my head, like I will go down to my root chakra and I will sit there and I'll be like, okay, what do I need to get back into pleasure? And sometimes it is the weirdest, most random things, but she will respond. And I will literally tell my friends, I'm like, I don't listen to my head anymore. I listen to my vagina. Like, she knows better than I do. And I think it is surrounding yourself with people that have been through some of the things that you've been through and are maybe a little bit farther ahead on the journey of opening back up into pleasure. There have been specific people that have come into my life since my divorce that have shown me the example of someone who can be in their body and in their pleasure and have no shame for it whatsoever and create this experience around sex that makes it feel like a very safe, comfortable place to play and explore and to find out more about yourself and to have these really cool emotional experiences and these really deep intimate connections, and that it's so about so much more than just orgasm. Yeah. Or whatever. And so I think that's all based on my experiences, really like listening to your body and trying to literally take the energy out of your head and say, I'm going to focus on my vagina right now and see what's going on in there. Or I'm going to focus on my right big toe, like literally putting your focus somewhere else and seeing like what feels good. Because a lot of times we don't feel good and it's because of our thoughts. And so it's like noticing, you know, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable, this horrible thing. And it's really, is my right calf like in pain? And it's no, absolutely not. My right calf is fine. And then it's okay. Is my left big toe in pain? No, it's not. It's actually fine. My body is actually fine. I'm just creating all this in my head. And so if like you're in a sexual experience where you're resisting the pleasure, it's usually in the mind. It's not, the body is usually more open to pleasure than we realize. So I think it's having time alone. It's having time to explore. It's experimenting with new things. It's talking to people that have been there, and it's creating a space first within yourself where everything is okay. It's all okay. And then finding someone, if it's your spouse or someone, to create that experience with another person where everything here is okay and whatever we want to explore is okay. And the deeper and deeper you can get into pleasure, like the more and more you're going to open and more you're going to shed. And it's, I don't know, it can be such a beautiful, enlivening experience. And it's really just about, as the feminine, it's about opening up and allowing that in. Yeah. Releasing control.
Have you ever heard of, her name is Asia Suler, and she actually has an online course called The Pussy Portal. And it's all—
No, I think I have heard of that.
Yeah, it's really, I haven't actually taken the course, but I'm on her emails. And so I've watched her videos and stuff about it. And it's always been something that I've wanted to do, even to the point of she encourages you to like draw your pussy and like to hold a mirror down to yourself and look at yourself and connect with that part of yourself and to draw it, to name it if you want to, like to just really connect. And have you ever read the book Wild Feminine by Tammy Lynch?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that book so much for so many reasons, mostly because I've had my own journey with pelvic floor physical therapy, and Tammy Lynch is a pelvic floor physical therapist. And so I read that book and it was just the most intuitive pelvic floor physical therapy book. It was not all about like anatomy and exercises and stretches and like Kegels and all those things. It was more about, yeah, she actually has women like get out of their heads and put all of their energy and focus into their pelvis. Can you focus on your uterus? Can you focus on your right ovary? And she said, it's astounding how many women, like I'm trying to, but I can't, nothing's there. And it's because the disconnect between their, they've cut themselves off at the neck and they're just like a head walking around. And they're not, they've just disconnected from that part of their body. And I think that as in our society in general, like, sure, there's issues around men's sexuality too, but women especially we're taught and expected to be more cut off from
absolutely
part of our body, because at least for me, the church taught me my body wasn't mine. My body belonged to my husband, and his number one need in our marriage was going to be sex. And if he didn't get that need met for me, if I wasn't doing my wifely duties, then he was going to go find it somewhere else.
Yes.
And I was never taught to figure out what felt good for me or to ask for what I wanted, or even self-pleasure was definitely off the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, to this day, I still have a hard time with that. And I have to get out of my head and put all the focus into my root chakra, because otherwise I overthink it and overanalyze it. And it's really harmful. So
yeah, no, I completely get it. And I think that's the confusion that I know I remember growing up in, is my body was a sexual body because it had so much power, but it was like bad to be sexual, but also like, it's so confusing. I can't even like put it into words. It was like my body was going to send somebody to hell. Don't dress sexy because they're going to have impure thoughts. But also like you need to attract a man and men just want sex. And it was just, I can't even, there's so much disconnect and so much confusion. And I think for me, I'm not speaking to anyone else's female experience. For me, something I have learned is I'm a lot more sexual than I ever thought I was. And it has just been repressed for so long. And when I am in my body, that's basically all I want to do, is just play, explore, let go, be open, have sex, have fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so I think, again, for you, it's, and for everybody like listening, it's just take everything off the table of good and bad. Like masturbation isn't bad. Sex toys aren't bad. BDSM isn't bad. Like whatever the thing is that you're saying, oh, like everything's fine except for that. No, that thing is okay too. And just allowing yourself to say, okay, without anybody telling me what I'm supposed to do or what I'm not supposed to do, without anybody looking, without anybody like being a part of my sexuality, just for me, what do I like? What do I want to do? What turns me on? What enlivens my pussy? Like what makes my brain feel excited, and then follow that. And it can be anything, like, and the feminine energy is like when we're really in our feminine, we are allowing. It's just, we've just grown up in so much confusion over our bodies and over sexuality and what you can and can't do. And if you dress quote unquote too slutty, then you're a whore and you're bad. And, but if you dress too modest, then you're a prude, and wearing makeup is good. Wearing no makeup is good. Like, it's just, it's so confusing. And it's just saying, fuck it to all of that. And no, do I like makeup? Do I want to dress like this? Am I sexual? Am I not? Do I not like sex? It's all fine. And it's just giving ourselves permission. It's just permission over and over and saying, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. You want to have sex? That's okay. You don't want to have sex? That's okay. Just that's, it's all okay. And just reassuring ourselves.
Yeah. And I think also recognizing that your body at different times in your life is going to change. And so what you may have loved and enjoyed or had a desire for 5 years ago, or even a year ago or 6 months ago, even, you don't necessarily now. And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It just means like you're listening to your body and you're not getting in your head about it. And I'll be honest, like I've come a long way in a trauma healing journey, but the area that I've made the least amount of progress in is my sexuality. And there's just been so many layers, starting from whenever I was just a little girl being told that wearing certain types of clothing was bad, but like being groomed from that early age to follow the rules. And then being a teenager, I always had a boyfriend. I was totally boy crazy. I was very sexual in high school. I had a, you know, really nice body, like, but because I was in the church, like I can remember having, like, I was technically a virgin when I got married. So I retained my purity as a gift to give my husband on our wedding night. What a crock of shit. But, you know, I did it, but I always say I was a virgin, like by the hair of my chinny chin, done everything else. Yeah. And, but I had never done it without guilt. Like every experience that I ever had with a boyfriend, it was like, even in the moment, I couldn't just enjoy it. It always had to be about like, we shouldn't be doing this, or good Lord, Megan, I can't even tell how many boyfriends after we would do whatever it was we would do, we would pray together and ask God to forgive us afterwards. Sadistic, like really. And so starting as a little girl, and then that was my teenage experience. And then I signed all the purity pledges and the true love waits cards and vowed to preserve my virginity as a gift that I would give my husband on my wedding night. And then I make it all the way to the wedding night. And I guess I just assumed that at some point, like a switch was supposed to flip. And all of the, like, I wasn't ever supposed to think about, talk about, do anything sexual. But then on my wedding night, somehow I was supposed to be sexual. And here I am, we just had our 18th anniversary, and here I am 18 years later, and I still haven't figured out how to flip that switch. And it's probably the area of trauma that I have made the least amount of progress in.
And that, I think, is what your hip is calling for right now. That's the next step for you. And I think it's recognizing that's the next step. And your body is just asking for it. And I think it's something I have. So maybe this is again too much or off topic, but I've explored some of the, like the BDSM stuff, more the BD than the SM. But I think what's interesting in that world, and when you are with somebody who is very mature and respectful and holds really good space, that you can explore like these kind of these off topics of like guilt, but make it hot, or like shame, but make it hot, and taking these negative experiences that we've had and creating pleasure from it, like taking the guilt and saying either guilt, you can stay out of the room right now. Like you're not a part of this, or bring the guilt in and play with it and create, instead of being like, I have this guilt, like just that guilt is there. It's a third party. And so either it stays out or it comes in and you play with guilt and you talk with guilt and you create an experience with guilt and you turn guilt into something else, like guilt, but make it hot. And exploring some of that has been really healing for me. And it's also a way that I have been able to allow myself to fall into that feminine opening in a way that I never would have been able to just in a normal sexual experience. Again, it's about allowing. It is like, it's allowing. And that's a word that just keeps coming up. Allowing the pleasure, allowing yourself to explore what you really do or don't, and exploration. Do I like sex toys? Do I like this? Do I like that? Do I want to be tied up? Do I like, it's all of it, like exploring, just it's all neutral. It's all okay. And it's allowing to fall into pleasure. And some of the BDSM stuff can be a really healing tool in that. I know that's completely off topic.
But what you said earlier, it's all connected. We are not just physical beings, we're sexual beings, we're spiritual beings, where we have an ancestral lineage. Like, it's what makes us up as people. And that's the whole reason why I started this podcast, was because I see that a lot of trauma healing resources are inadequate because they're not addressing the body as a whole thing. They're making it just cognitive. Oh, we'll just talk about it and do CBT, and or we're going to medicate it, or we're going to whatever. And it's, no, you're not addressing it as a whole person. So
right.
That's what I love about the emotion code, is because the emotional piece of us really does impact all of it. It gets stored or it gets released. And depending on what happens in that trauma, and we don't have any control over how we react in that moment. That's what trauma is. It's too much, too fast, too soon. But it's like, later with that awareness, we can go back and work with somebody like you, who actually doesn't have to be this hard. Like, you don't have to relive past experiences. You don't have to remember anything. You don't have to feel that anymore. We're just going to release it. So no, it's all connected. And I love the unscripted nature of our conversations. There's just, I have very little to edit out of here, because it's real. And this is, I want my podcast to be like, if somebody was curled up on my couch with a cup of tea, like, this is how we would talk. You know, it's scripted and it's not rehearsed, and it's very real and raw, and trauma is real and raw, and healing it is also that way. Remind people again how they can find you and work with you.
Yeah. So my website is harmony-restored.com. And I am on Instagram at Harmony Restored, and either you can send me an email through my website or send me a message on Instagram. That's the easiest way to contact me.
And you are currently accepting new clients?
I am accepting new clients right now. Yes. And they're, so we can work together one-on-one. I also have an online course and some webinars and different things that people can get if they are not ready to work one-on-one. There's other options.
I love working one-on-one with you. It didn't faze me at all that I felt worse after our two sessions. I was like, it's like, sometimes you got to peel the scab off for the wound to heal. It's like, sometimes you got to stir up whatever's been stuck, and for it to move. And I think you stir it up. And I think you're so intuitive, and you're so right that, like, my body is leading me to heal this sexual repression and my mentality. So I'm excited to do it.
Yeah. It's been fun chatting as always.
As always, having Megan on the podcast is a great time. She's so insightful and intuitive, and I love chatting with her. I love working with her. If you are interested in working with Megan Buer, every place that you can contact her is going to be listed in the show notes of this episode. You can find show notes at lindsaylockett.com/podcast. And this is episode 16. I'll have all those links there for you. And as always, you can find me on Instagram at I am Lindsay Lockett.